Chodas, drama in Brisbane. He's MC.
MC.
That's cool. DJ.
Yeah.
DJ CP.
All right.
Morning.
Hello, everyone. Oh, I didn't see you guys there. Hello. And welcome to the Superfunos Maybe Not Better Show podcast.
Yay.
All right. And we're here with guitarist extraordinaire, singer, performer. He does it all. Chris Palmer. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hello. Really well, thank you.
Thanks for having us at your place.
Thanks for coming down.
Well,
it's been a while in the making, hasn't it? We've been meaning to do this for a little while.
We've been talking about it for a year, I think. Because we're a bit slow with... I'm a bit slow. I've been wanting to do this podcast thing for a long time, and then things like kids and wives and... Well, one wife.
Just the one.
Just the one wife.
Last cow.
That we know of anyway. There's that lady in Thailand, but that's a different story.
That's not a wife.
Turned out to be a man.
You say lady.
No, yeah, so...
She speaks like a lady.
Yeah.
Just like one.
With a really low voice. That's what ladies talk like that, though.
No, that's right.
Your other wife, Kevin.
Robbo at home. Cool, anyway, yes. So, music and stuff.
Yeah.
So, Chris, for people that don't live in sort of the kind of Brisbane, Southeast Queensland kind of area of the world, tell us just who's Chris Palmer? Tell us about yourself.
Chris Palmer, okay. Well, he was put on the piano by his mum when he was 5 and did a lot of that sort of semi-classical thing and did the grades. And then when he was probably 12, early teens, he picked up mum's acoustic guitar and taught himself and, played guitar after school instead of doing homework.
Sounds
probably a common thread amongst guitarists.
Don't tell my mum and dad though.
I believe I've got a science degree.
that was air quotation marks there, folks.
Science. Bachelor of Arts.
Yes.
Communication. And then I moved around heaps as a kid, so the guitar just seemed more natural than the piano to me. I got into the con and did that, and sort of been playing around in corporate bands for ages in my early 20s, just playing electric and doing backing vocals and stuff, and worked with everyone from a reggae band through to a, you know, 7-piece horn corporate band and all sorts of different stuff, chick rock bands, to use the parlance of our day.
Even a funky love pumper.
I did work with Brother B.
That's when I first met Cafe Le Monde back in the day.
It wasn't officially Love Tank, but yes, I was a Brother B.
Yes, that's a whole
contractor.
Different.
He is the Love Tank.
The Love Tank man. Anyway, that's a different story.
Since about, I did a ship contract in 2006 and worked at Papua New Guinea, did all sorts, just bits and pieces all over the place. The big thing that's changed my thing around town is I'm mostly a solo artist now that sort of does, you know, plays electric gigs for Sanity. as I'm sure that's you probably
again,
know.
Sounds familiar, yes.
So, you know, I went to did a contract in Dubai in 2009, and I had to sing about a third of the night, maybe a quarter of a third of the night, six nights a week. I got a lot stronger singing there, and so I came back and just worked on the acoustic solo show as well, and the electric's obviously been there. That was my passion, and I working 4 or 5 nights a week around town doing bars and things and clubs. I don't really do the pub, like the Friday Saturday pub scene. That's generally that's never been my thing. I'm not a rock guy.
There was 3 people cringing here.
Yeah, I like to rock out on the guitar, but I'm not really a singer. Part as far as singing and earning the money that way, but so did the jazz course at the con, so I guess I'm more of a fusion bluesy sort of guy, so
so with the con thing, what were the pros and cons for you?
I
don't even mean that one. I don't mean that much,
you know. It's
more
good.
Puns will come.
You can make a strong coffee if you want.
Yeah, look, I loved
the immersion of music, and most of the people I play with now, I've met there or have a link to that. So it's definitely a networking bonus, massive networking bonus. Yeah. So, yeah, Pat Farrell, who I play with a lot, met him there, and Jeremy O'Connell, all those players, and all those guys. So they're all in the scene still, and I've worked with all, we've worked in each other's bands, and we've all worked in other people's bands. So the networking is definitely a massive bonus. Cons, a lot of ancillary coursework. Like, man, I didn't come from a jazz background, so obviously the history of jazz was just like, who are all these people, you know? And it was a great learning curve for me, but so there were various things like that, and the MIDI studies, and various, which are all coursework and you have to do them, but that sort of got in the way of spending more time on the guitar and implementing these harmonic things that I'd never come across before. So because I wasn't brought up with that extended jazz listening or language, you know, those extended harmonies were very new to me. So it took a lot more to sort of go in. I think I loved it and I would do it again, like, every time. But I think more time spent directly with the instrument and doing that would be preferable over these other things that I will never use.
I
think that's any, of course, but directly related to music for me. So
I auditioned for a uni course but didn't get in because my theory wasn't strong enough at the time, and I studied some jazz stuff privately for a couple of years after high school, and it got to the point where I was going through lots of theory and getting really deep into it, but then I had to, like, after about 2 years, I'm like, I had to have a break because
overload.
I learned all this stuff and understood it, but I'm like,
applying
I
it
need to actually put it into practice when you're playing. That's probably a similar thing. Like, same, like,
totally.
I can understand how to build chords off scale things and blah blah blah.
We can all talk about it.
Yeah. Actually, using it at gigs.
It's helpful for explaining mistakes as well. So anything's correct if you can explain it. Jazz theory. Yeah. I think that kind of worked that way for me naturally because I did the con and then, there was a break doing other stuff and just working in corporate bands, and then I joined this other sort of soul band with Ross Comerford on keys and Robbie Flay on bass, and we were playing a lot of soul and, old school R&B and some jazz influenced stuff, I guess, all that sort of incognito, that sort of fusion-ish stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like, I'm applying it now, and it kind of worked naturally that way. So I had that break, and then it comes out. So I mean, everything that goes in your brain comes out eventually in some form or another. But I think that was
probably having a keyboard that helps too, because I mean that's a whole different ballgame if you play along with the keyboard.
Ross
is great.
He's amazing, and he always likes to alter chords and substitute stuff. So I learned a lot from playing with him as well, and I guess he was a big school in helping me apply these things that I could understand. I had good ears and I had good theories before I went to the con as well. It was lucky that I had the ears. It was always,
Oh, it helps,
So, piano, I'm not great at piano anymore. I'd use it for composing and...
He's saying, looking at the grand piano.
Looking at a 5'6" grand piano. From the early last century.
Wow.
1908.
Wow, that's very cool.
It cost me $400. As if I wouldn't have it.
Even if there's nothing in it, just a
phone. That's right.
It's actually a bar.
It's cheap whiskey.
It's pink and fluffy on the inside.
Yeah. There's a lot of Elton John sunglasses in there.
His sunglass collection, isn't there?
Inside. It's the wrong colour. It should be white.
Yeah,
as well, pink and fluffy.
Oh, for the guys on the podcast, they can't see it. Yeah, it's white. So how did the whole gear thing come into play? Because, I mean, especially since the world of Facebook sort of began, and I've befriended you on Facebook, I've always seen sort of pictures, there's always gear, So how did the whole gear thing sort of start for you?
My first pedal, the first pedal I ever bought was a Rat.
Cool.
And that was in 1988 in the UK. So by then, it was a bit later than that, sorry. So, no, it would have been 1990. I'd was doing a paper round when I was about 12, and so I'm 40. Yeah, 41 this year.
I'm just about a year behind. That's insane.
So, yeah, 99, yeah, so I was... Yeah, 88 we went back to the UK and I was 12. And then so I was already sort of playing guitar and teaching myself stuff off the piano. And that's how I sort of did it, so the piano knowledge and just learning how the, you know, the relationships,
yeah,
the notes and dramatics, yeah, work on the guitar. So I guess that's why it's, with me, it's a little bit of studied and a little bit sort of street as well, you know, because I sort of applied my knowledge of music and worked out, oh yeah, okay, so each one of those is worth one of those notes, and yeah, sort of figured that out myself. Never having any official structured guitar lists when I was younger. And yeah, so I was doing a paper round and I bought my first electric, which was a Japanese Squire Strat. And I had a Roland Cubert, Q100, orange one, you know, those big ones.
Yeah,
12 inch speaker. Good clean sound. And then I bought a Rat. That was my first pedal. I foolishly sold the Strat and bought a Frank Gambale yellow Ibanez RG570.
Lovely.
Almost the colour of that green
tablecloth. Yeah.
You know, a yellow one, it's crazy yellow fluoro. But they had a problem with it. It was all the E's didn't sustain. There was a phase cancellation in the wood, I believe. So, and as a 14-year-old boy, E's pretty important. We play a lot of stuff in E.
It's the best of all the keys.
16, maybe. So I took that back and I ended up with a Joe Satriani JS1.
Okay.
Going through a bit of his phase. I think by then I'd sold the Roland and I had a PV Stereo Chorus 212.
Nice.
So all the tenets of testosterone and a teenage boy coming out there with the guitar and amp choices. Then we came back to Australia and I kept the Rat and the JS1 and sold the PV, luckily. I can't remember what I got after that. I think I picked up an old twin, silver face twin or something. And then I actually can't remember the next pedal that I would have bought. I probably would have been a Wah-Wah something. Really slowly collected. It was a very logarithmic thing for me. I think I didn't really start collecting heaps of it till, you know, maybe 10 years ago. And then obviously with the internet happening and access to YouTube and demos and stuff, then...
Again, this, another feeling very well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you're a similar age, so, you know...
Yeah. One of those pre-internet people, kids out there.
But yeah, I mean, as you saw on Facebook, I'm selling probably about 40 pedals on there, which are just things that I've collected and experimented with and just wanted to hear what it was like, basically, because you never can tell until you feel it and hear it on stage. So
especially, I think we're talking about, especially with gain stuff,
like
it's so different from amp to amp. It's so different,
and just the feel of one overdrive versus another
guitar and in person, like, you can't tell on Pro Guitar Shop or YouTube. You just can't tell,
except for our YouTube channel. You can tell
there's a special it's got the special feel on it.
You are feeling technology.
Scratch its nerve.
I know that.
Scratch and spliff. Right, anyway. For all those kids out there.
Just stay in school, kids.
Yeah.
Kids, don't buy drugs.
Yes, they're bad.
Steal them off your brother.
Yes. Become a rock star and then your roadie will get it for you. so what is it like with new gear, what sort of inspires you, what do you take out of gear that inspires you? I know it's kind of a very vague sort of question.
It is, and you know, we've all got our thing, and I guess being a bit more jazzy fusion, I look for, I guess my sonic palette is possibly a little stuck in the 80s, but I'm not super, super 80s. I mean, this thing can go there if it wants to.
It has a chorus on this pit board. Yes.
It's actually really nice.
It does sound great, actually.
Yeah. The only thing I want on the outside of it is the width. There's a width knob on the inside, you know, for the delay of the chorus.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'd like to get externally. I'm going to look at it. It's just like a $400 pedal, isn't it? It's like, oh.
Drill a hole in it.
Well, that's right, and I don't use this, so I could just that hole, I suppose. It's true, it's just mine. I've actually got another one which I'm selling, so. Where were we? So, I guess things are just things that enable you to express yourself in that way, I guess. It's just each one of these pedals has got its own sort of palette, I guess, as far as the drive's concerned, and they bring out different parts of me. And I think because I come from that improvisational thing, I am very responsive to the sounds I'm hearing and feeling. So I'm, you know, I'm like a guy that's learned all his rock riffs by rote learning. Doesn't matter what he plays through, it'll be that, because it's him, it's just coming from here to here. And I guess, and that's not a slight on that way of doing
it.
No,
of course not.
It's just that I'm very much responsive to input, you know, external input. So when everyone else is listening to Pearl Jam, it's all I was listening to Sting. So if that can say anything about
one of those guys, yes.
One of those guys. So I was a sonic snob, basically.
Yeah, that's the same with Steve Ray Vaughan versus, punk,
'90s
stuff.
Totally.
Was going on there.
Yeah, and I was listening to Eric Johnson for the same reason. I wasn't listening, because he had a great tone. It was wow. And Stevie, obviously, and I loved Hendrix, but I couldn't listen to him because the recording quality is just dire. But
Sevens
for you. Things from the 50s, like Barney Kessel, were way in advance of anything coming out of the UK in the 70s. Well, okay, let's put it this way, the Beatles and, you know. But imagine if the Beatles sounded like Sting, they wouldn't have been as popular. Same with the Police, I reckon. I don't think, now that I look back on it and I have a completely different outlook of that, like that was at the time when I was growing up, but it still has influenced how I play and how I hear gear, you know. So, it's definitely about having things that help me respond in the way that I play. But I'm totally open. I'm going to make two sidecars with this. So there's going to be a blues/Hendrix board with more sort of vibey, fuzzy, quirky sort of... Yeah, but still a workable board in its own right.
Yep.
And then I'm going to do the crazy quirk board as well. Which is
the party board.
The party board. Which is actually going to be a PT1. just for quirk. It's got a DT, whammy DT on it. Pictronics mothership.
Oh, cool.
I've got the SY300, the Boss synth.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
I always wanted to try one of those.
Yeah, we can do that later.
Okay.
I'll have to come down again.
Part two and three.
Oh, yeah. Fun day.
So we should mention, actually, what size is this?
This is a pro.
A pro.
PT Pedal pro. Right.
The grain is longer, isn't it? It's not deeper, it's just longer.
It's just longer. It's another 8 inches longer, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 or 8.
Mm.
Considerably bigger. And if Mono made a case for the drum, I'd probably have one, but they don't do one.
Mm.
Yeah. They do a keyboard case, but I don't think it's quite deep enough. Mm.
Because the case... the hard case weighs more than what's in it.
They're amazingly well over engineered.
Yeah.
I
used to like the pro around as well, and it's just the weight of the case.
Yeah, it's
just
ridiculous.
Insane. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
and
before you put
always upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I used to have a twin.
Yeah.
That's the reason I got rid of the twin, because the gigs are always upstairs.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do at 1 a.m. when people don't like getting out of your way for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Is lugging a gigantic heavy thing around through people going down the flight of stairs.
Which one did you have? Which twin? Was it a silver face or something?
It was a silver face,
yeah. So they were 80 watts, weren't they, the silver faces? Or did they make them 100?
I don't remember. I think it was loud couple. As hell, though. That's
but they're so
remember.
Heavy, I had one.
Ridiculously heavy. Yeah.
That'd be you. Yep. Speaking of Hawaii's.
Yes.
I'll call her back later.
Let's see. His
speaking
mistress.
Of otherwise.
Yeah, so that's the only... I love the sound of it, but it's just... it's way too heavy.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I got rid of it.
Yeah, totally.
And same here, so with the cases, they're great cases, but...
They're incredible. I've got it. It's in the shop.
Insanely heavy.
Yeah.
So So on the front of your board, you've got a G2, isn't it?
Yep, Gig Rig G2.
The Gig Rig thing?
Yep. And so, as you know, there's 14 buttons. The bottom seven, I've got sort of a small range of just basic sounds. And again, with the whole input response thing and the improvisational that I work, it's very much set up as almost an instant access thing, if you will. I'm going to get into the bank manager. You know, you can change the bank on it. I'll get into that and do some separate.
Check our YouTube channel later on as well for the. We'll do some video on it.
Yeah.
Can see it all as well.
But, and then the top row is sort of accessing the different modulations and what have you.
Yeah, I didn't know that you could do it like that with the Gig Rig, that you can have sort of the bottom row set up as
you can do what presets. You want. But see those yellow lights, you can choose any one of them as a stomp box mode.
Okay, cool.
So, and they've also brought out the order change. So,
oh, yes, you can change, yeah.
One to eight, or basically all the mono channels, you can move one of them in front of anything else. So for the solo, basically I've got this, which is kind of a fuzz face, but you've probably heard it, it's not. It's got its own thing going on. The solo, or if I select the clone when the fuzz is on, puts the clone in front.
Just
for
that patch, yeah.
Okay.
So I've got two ways of doing things there, but obviously hitting that solo, it's the fuzz and the clone straight in, and I can sometimes I had the, depending on the gig, I'll put the memory man in there as well, the big box one.
Even just 5 minutes of playing with it is
you got
confusing.
It. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, it was.
It's a no-brainer,
yeah.
And that's why it's been popular. Plus, I mean, I think sonically, it's streets ahead of anything else, because of the whole passive matrix thing he's got going on in there, which is genius. Ask away. Did you want to talk about it more? Do you want to send him? Do more of the board on the video side of things? We'll just keep.
We could do a bit of both. Talk us through the board.
All right. Guitar out into, I'm going into a wah, which I've got an AMT, what is this called again?
Japanese girl.
Yeah, Japanese girl. Straight out of that into a VFE pedals Minimu, which is a Mutron, basically, version copy. It's, I think he squeezed the Neutron, which was Mad Bean pedals, one into there, which is a very, very good version copy clone of the Mutron. It runs at 18 volts internally. I think there's an 18 volt swing inside. Yeah.
Sounded great before. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fat. Straight out of there into the Cali 76 compressor, which is the GT model. I think that's what it is. I can't remember what it's called now. GP, sorry. So it's got the parallel and the germanium boost. Sounds great. Then out of there into the G2.
So that's basically always on the compressor.
Yeah. And the way I've set up this expression thing here, I can sort of reach over and get the germanium boost as well. So that was a bit of fiddling around with that. Loop one is Empress Phaser, which is pretty multi-talented. Loop two is a Love Pedal BBB13. OC76 Fuzz.
Yeah, catchy name, though.
Yeah, it really rolls off the tongue. I think it's the Balanced Black Beauty or something like that, because this blend.
Right. Yeah, I just noticed the blend.
It blends between the single germanium and then a more of a range master on this side.
Gotcha, okay.
So you can sort of lose the bottom end a little bit by going this way.
I've got the same one, but it's in a different box. It's just black, it's got nothing written on it.
Is that the balance that was the dragon fuzz or
no? It's still called the BBB.
BBB.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the.
And it has a balance knob as well, where it's the like you said, the range master to the.
Yeah. To the basically fuzz face.
Fuzz face, sort of.
I think he had one in 7, 11, and 13, so that's why maybe he got an older one.
Don't know which one, but it's all black. Mine. It's just there's nothing on it. It's just black and black knobs too.
Well, this was the first one that had this color thing on it, so.
Because he goes through his different stages, phases, where he's different closures.
I've pedal delay with that same colour thing.
Yeah, I remember that, the Echophonic. What is
Junior or something?
Yeah,
it's cool.
So after the fuzz in loop three, we've got the KTR Clon, lovely pedal. Loop four is the Love Pedal COP 50. This is an Angus mod, germanium model.
With high gain.
I think it is. It is supposed to be higher gain, but I love germanium. I just love the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fuzzes are germanium fuzz. I just love that bloom of the note.
Mm.
It's the way the bell of it works. You know,
yeah.
I think all the fuzzes of mine that I'll keep have got to have that certain thing. You know, you can muck around with the fuzz factory as well, and you get that real sort of. Just the way the note blooms and the bell-like quality of it, it's just, I love that.
That's my absolute all-time favourite pedals.
That will be going on one of those other boards.
Okay, so. the party board.
Party board one.
If you could mod it so you could expression some of those controls in the fuzz factory.
Well, the probe does that.
Well, the probe, is it the stab knob? I think that's what the probe does.
Can you change which one it is?
I think it was the stab.
I've actually opened it up, but maybe you can do this. But I think it's just a stab knob.
Because I've got
the probe.
I've got the probe, didn't I?
Yeah, we did a probe off.
Probation.
Many puns there. Yes. But yeah, no, that's I love the pedal. But you can get those third hand pedals, the ones where you actually physically put a.
True. Yeah.
And it's an expression pedal, and you.
You
take the knob off and actually physically put the thing on, and it twists it for you.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, because Digrig's come out with that.
Oh, the automatic one.
Looks great. Because if you only had one pedal, that would be good. You know, like a rat, as he uses it on.
So you do different presets and it automatically changes the...
All right.
It turns the knob for you.
Take the knob off and stick these little... Yeah, wheels on there. Little
like gears.
Servo, they're like servo leaves, basically.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, so the COT 50, it's meant to have a bit more high, a bit higher gain. I had the non-germanium Angus Mod 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all right. I prefer this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also had... couple of amp 11s, which have had various COTs on them as well.
Yeah.
I had the Primax one and the original green one, and I couldn't tell what the green one was like because it was a separate. But I really like the one in the Primax thing, and this is probably the closest to that one. Just a bit more fuzz sort of attack on it. And then last. In the drive section, I recently replaced a King of Tone with a Kingsley Minstrel, which I'm absolutely loving at the moment. I'd like to get a Page as well. Ooh. I don't know where that would fit. But under the board?
Party board.
Yeah.
Under the board.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you have to get a grinder then.
Get on grinder? Oh, no. Then after that, loop 6, we've got the Diamond Halo Chorus.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
You've got an expression pedal hooked up to that.
Yeah, I do. I've got a little Dunlop DVP-4 into a Mission Expressionator, which is controlling delay blend and the expression for the Halo Chorus, which controls the speed.
That's a super cool idea, that breakout boxing.
Yeah.
I've yet to find a... I've only just done it, so I've got to find a thing for the third...
Yeah.
Third option there, probably the phaser. It's the only one. It's one of its own natural blend. After that, I've got Diamond Tremolo Loop 7,
mm-hmm.
which is lovely. Great sounding pedal.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, with all my pedals, it's a big balance of obviously sonics first, and you know, followed closely by usability and features. I think the Empress Tremolo had some cool features that I was really keen on, but I just sonically wasn't that impressed by it. It was a bit more sterile because they've actually got their yellow comp in that thing as the way that they use it. So I mean, if you use the manual, was it manual, one of these modes, and you turn the depth down, you've actually, I can't remember where it is, we'll find it later, it's one of these modes, you've actually basically got the yellow comp in there, that's kind of cool.
Oh, wow.
Then after that, last mono loop, loop 8, I've got the Big Box Deluxe Memory Man, which is quite a nice one. Loop 9, I don't run anything stereo anyway, but this is the first stereo loop. I've got the Memory Man Tap Tempo, greedy, two Memory Mans, just in case one forgets. That joke was courtesy of Marky Sorbello. And
excellent.
Lastly in line is the Strymon Big Sky.
Cool.
Now, in the loop of the Deluxe Memory Man Tap Tempo, I've got a little MOA graphic EQ just so I can play with the sonics a little bit. And,
oh yeah, I thought this was something in the loops.
Yeah, it's just that's what that's for.
Okay.
Because I really love tone on a delay. I had a I had an accident in 2015, just for general knowledge. I broke my foot and stuff, and I lost a bit of gear in there, so I lost an amp in there, and I had a Superpuss, which was great.
Oh, yeah.
Size of the thing was, you know, it's that size, and tap tempo, and the ratios, and the tone knob and the gain thing was great, and I really liked what you could do with it, and so I'm kind of emulating that a little bit with with this graphic pedal in the loop of the Memory Man, you know.
Okay.
What have I got underneath? I've got a tuner stuffed under there somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Now the one thing, G2, sorry Daniel, but it's not the easiest in the MIDI department. So, I've got underneath, I haven't programmed it yet, but I've got a MIDI Solutions, what's it called? Something plus, but basically it's a box that you program, and it'll take program changes and send out CCs.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that for some of the patches when I get into the next bank and actually make some actual sounds. Like here's a reggae sound, here's a this sound, here's a Van Halen sound.
Is it with that? Is it where sort of bank one patch one sends MIDI one?
It's sequentially. Yeah. It's basically program change 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. So you have to change it on your pedals.
Yeah.
Too.
So that kind of works with the Strymon, but for this is totally CC. There's no patches in that. But I love this phaser, so I'm going to program that thing for a few things.
I used to have a one control, what is it called?
The crocodile,
The crocodile tail loop, that's right. And it's the same that drove me nuts.
Yeah.
And now actually I use the Boss
ESA.
ESA, and the MIDI side is insane on that thing.
And they've got auto swapping now too, haven't they?
Yeah, but that stuff, they started it. I think that's why G2 started doing it, because that came out with that. So that's
the only thing is it doesn't have, doing it as well, I think.
It doesn't have, I don't think it has anywhere where you can update software, so it's whatever's on it.
Okay.
The MIDI side of it is insane.
Yeah.
That's what I absolutely love about that ESA.
And that was one thing RJM always had down, and obviously they put that on their PVC, and that was, it was a toss-up, because it was before that the ES8 came out. But, or maybe it was all happening at the same time. It was a major toss-up for me between the G2 and the PVC, the RJM pedalboard controller, the PVC. Mm. But, quite a bit longer, I think. And, just, you know, sonically, I knew the G2 was going to be the one that would do it for me. So, I think it is the hands-down sonic winner. But, I'd love to try the ES8. It's got some great features on it, and the size and the MIDI. The MIDI is interesting.
The MIDI is insane. Yeah. I use an H9.
Yeah.
Type H9, and for that, it's just insane what you can do with it.
Have you come across any issues with sound? The Boss?
Not yet. No. So thankfully,
you're pretty happy with it?
Yeah. I'm really happy with it. I think it's great. Cool. It's
had it for a while now. So.
I've had it for quite a while now, and thankfully, touch wood. So far, I haven't had any issues with it. There's quite a few people that have issues where sound all of a sudden disappears and there's issues with things, but so far, it's been plain sailing for me. And I just love the easy... I mean, it's the most stupid manual ever made, which doesn't tell you anything in any way about anything. And like with any Boss or Roland product...
It's always been that way,
The way it's set,
translation
it's
or something
stupid.
Hasn't happened quite right.
And the menus.
The way you have to go into menus and sub-menus and sub-menus, it's dumb. But
I swear it's the same as had a JV30, which is one of their keyboards.
Yeah.
It's the same display, that little 2x8.
And you've got to go in one and then sub and then scroll a little wheel. But, I mean, once it kind of works out,
that,
goes.
Yeah,
it's
got the rhythm and the same.
Is there a librarian for it? Like, is there a plugin you can't do?
No.
Yeah, that'd be really good if they
could. That would be great, If they could do something, if you could hook it up via USB or something or even like an app or something for it.
Drag and drop things in.
That would be fantastic, but no, you can't. That's the thing. That's the one downside with it. But,
yeah.
That's probably the next thing coming out, though. That's
someone
doing that with...
Probably.
The editor and drag this one this loop.
Totally.
If they'd have that, it'd be... That's the one, in my opinion, the big downside of it.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened already. And I think, I mean, RJM have good stuff like that. You can do that in the RJM.
There's a huge screen on it too, and
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to. Don't even need to plug your laptop in, but you can, and you can drag and drop and rename stuff and do all that, and it's a librarian. You can move all your patches, which is, they've always had the MIDI site well down. But the whole thing, and again, I didn't touch on this before, is this board, apart from the reverb, is completely analog. So,
oh yeah, that's right.
That was one one thing that I was very adamant on.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, reverb's pretty hard to. When you've got spring in your amp, if you've got it,
if you want more ambient stuff, you have to go digital.
I was really interested in an H9, but they don't have a dry through, analog dry through. They're completely digital.
Yeah.
So that was the only downer. But you've got a parallel mixer on the Boss anyway, so
you could parallel mix it. Yeah. I've come to conclusion, or with me anyway, personally, the way I look at it is, the people that I play my music to, they
brides don't
care in the slightest way.
brides,
so I've stopped caring.
Brides and cute barmaids just don't notice.
No.
You can get that bit out if it sounds a bit misogynistic.
Damn, yeah.
Put a ring on that. I really love the tone you're getting out of that phaser.
Marry me.
Oh.
No, is that a germanium or a silicon fuzzy music?
I love you.
I like the H9 just because it's you can do some really straightforward stuff, but it does some really quirky stuff too.
Absolutely.
I live by quirky stuff.
I think I would
go insane if I just do non quirky stuff.
Yeah, if you
like. I need the quirky for cover bands.
Of course you do. And that's why I'm building the quirk board. I would love an H9. That's probably one of my next purchases once I've shed.
I just love all the sort of synthy sounds
and the stuff you get used for. Having non-analog drive-throughs.
Yeah, totally. For that weird moment.
Well, that's what I mean. And with these loop switches,
we don't want it.
If you don't want it, if it's not on, it's bypassed.
Well, that's right.
So it's just when it's on. And when it's on, you can definitely hear that it's on.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
With my patches anyways.
Yeah, yeah. The real spaceship.
Then it's definitely going crazy. But two of them would be nice, actually, two H9s. So you can have it. Well, it's pretty cool. You can do the pre and post things.
That's
you can split the left and right.
I would do that if I had one on this board.
So I've got one loop 4 and loop 7. So I've got before my drives and after.
Oh yeah, one thing I didn't mention. I've also got a courtesy loop on the side. It's one of GigRig's little remote loopy things, which is switched with this guy here. So you can hear it.
You can hear it clicking. Mm-hmm.
Clicking in and out because there's nothing in it at the moment.
Is that the one in the back here with the...
No, I don't have it there. I could put it there. It's actually around the side here.
All right. So there's another loop here then.
Yeah, well, that's... I can run a volume pedal in there if I want to.
Right.
Okay.
I tried running...
Oh, because it's got a volume pedal insert, doesn't it, the G2?
It does, yeah. You can put that wherever you want.
Gotcha.
So at the moment, I've just bridged it with a little patch lead. But, I've got it. Visual volume, which is really handy on stage, but they're huge, so and they require 9 volts to use your little LED funky thing.
Oh, that's right, it's got it on the side, doesn't it?
It's awesome. That's all right. I might try and make a little courtesy 9-volt thing on the side or something as well, so I can run that without patching in another,
I just saw I'm actually quite keen on getting one. It's Goodwood Audio.
Oh, yeah.
They made a thing called the Audrey. I don't know why they give them strange names.
Yeah.
But it's an audition loop.
Hipsters.
Hipsters, yeah. It's an audition loop, and it's a...
Okay,
it's, it's like a...
Hi, guys.
It's a... I love it. I love the cables. Products are fantastic. Yeah. The products are fantastic, and the interface I really love. But it's an audition loop, so it's unless anything's plugged in, it's bypassed.
Yeah.
But it also has a power out on it as well,
which
is kind of cool. So it's just a small little box where you can, if you want, an extra, I guess, which is what you do with
the
remote loopy.
Yeah.
So if you want to plug a different pedal in into the loop, you can do it via that. But the other cool thing is it has a power out as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. There's something on the side of that, which I'm not sure what it is. It might even be power out by itself. But I've been running, I've got one of those little high watt tape delays, CTE, custom tape echo.
Okay.
It's basically just a little slapback machine, and it works a little bit like a probably an early Echoplex. It's got two heads, only two heads.
Oh.
But it's, you know, it's a half rack size and it sounds great. So I put that there. So that runs in series with the Tap Tempo loop. I think I've got it before. Yeah, so it's in series in this loop and it's before the Memory Man.
Okay.
So you can put a flanger in there or something, and which I don't use very often, but I've, you know, something like that. Other modulations as well.
Mm-hmm. So with the two Memory Mans,
yep.
What one's the big, cool, big box?
They just look so good. Looks like the old electronic stuff. I love
just it. Like, and the other one's this model is the Tap Tempo.
It's the first series of the TT, the Tap Tempo 1100. It's 1100, but it's the Panasonic chip one, not the new X5. So,
okay.
How you can tell is that this says Tap Tempo.
Yep.
Whereas the other one says TT 1100.
Yeah. So sonically, what's the difference?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's just do that.
Sure.
This is going to be for your zoomy.
Check it out.
So let's. I'll turn the reverb off. So here's the big box.
Yeah, cool.
It sounded good. The big box one.
The big box sounds great.
That sounds really good.
And they all sound different.
I don't know if you've tried, but they're different. I know they're very inconsistent with parts and stuff.
Totally.
Electronics. So there's.
I think I've been pretty lucky with that one. It's more about the way that the knobs interact with one another as well. I mean, there's a sonic difference, but young Jack, who helped me wire the board, did the board wiring. I got one for him as well, and his one it's really hard to set the feedback where it doesn't take over the whole mix and everything.
Okay.
So it's just the way the knob interacts, and sonically it's different as well. Bit chirpier.
Mm-hmm.
And I got another one which I'm selling. Cool. Something happened to this one, and something came adrift on the board, but I worked out what it was and resoldered it, so I saved it, and I bought another one in the meantime just in case. It's got Frommel Mods, which was a company that was they might still be around, but they stopped doing mods. They did mods on a big box and sounds different again. It's just a lot more mellow. I actually don't like it as much.
I mean, that's the beauty with analog stuff. It's never exactly the same, is it? They're all kind of unique in their own sort of way.
Totally, especially with older components or cheaper components that you don't.
Yeah.
And they drift over time and heat and use and so.
Especially in Australia, heat.
Yeah.
We talk about this stuff on the way down, like Boss pedals. Because they've been doing this thing for so long, it's like engineered exactly everything.
Yeah, you know
exactly
what you're getting.
You know exactly what you're getting.
It kind of becomes a bit.
There's no soul a lot of times, that's the thing. Yeah. Whereas with these kind of things and a lot of these more boutique makers nowadays, there's these sort of slight variations between them, and they're not perfect.
Fuzz.
Yeah, fuzz in
particular.
You
can't help that. It's a germanium transistor.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, you've got to be lucky, and lucky to find the one that works for you as well.
Exactly.
So
fuzz, I reckon, in particular, is such a personal thing
and interactive with everything else around it as well.
Oh yeah, amps, guitars, everything.
The Weaver Marshall drive that I got, the blue one, this is amazing. You bought one, put it back in the shop
huge,
to sale.
A fan of it.
That's amazing.
Lasted a week, I think.
But it's different.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for that, isn't there? So it's you know what you're getting with a boss, what you're getting with a boss, but it's also boring.
That's it
because everyone has the same sound.
With us, I mean, one of the things we've worked out a while ago, the aim is the same, but our approach is different. I'm more of a turn everything up, and I use pedals for boosts, and I use crank the distortions, and whereas he's more of a rolling the volume back and coming from a louder side and kind of playing softer. I'm a hard hitter. I just hit hard. So, but the end result is kind of the same, but we come in from a different place. So,
the product is different
in the end.
Yeah.
So, it's, anyway, but I mean, everyone's so different with that sort of stuff. It's a real personal thing.
Totally.
But that's half the fun, and that's what I find. That's sort of the idea, kind of to a certain degree, behind this podcast, is to come and see working musicians and see how they go about it, and what they do and how they use their gear to get, in the end, the end result. We all kind of want the same end result.
Yeah.
We want the good sound that we're happy with that
makes
us feel a certain way, and because we feel a certain way, we play a certain way.
Yeah.
But how you get there, that's the thing.
Totally,
With that guitar text doing it all for you.
Guitar text. What about the other stuff you've got here? Love the old Marshall, 70s thing?
Yeah, 74.
Cool,
So I bought this off another local legend, Chris Stevenson. Used to be his.
Oh, there's a lot of people that have gear that used to be Chris Stevenson's.
Well, he actually sells his stuff, that's why they've probably got his gear. He's smart, sells it.
he's got children, that's the
thing. There's that too. True that. This Marshall Artist is basically a clean air. It's laid out like a JTM because it's got, a normal channel and a reverb channel. So I'm going into the dry channel, which has basically got a...
Looks like you're jumping the channels.
I'm jumping the channels. So I go into the dry channel, which is the louder channel.
Okay.
Because that's basically got backs and all tone controls on it, so it's shelving.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one's normal. They're both treble bass, so there's no mids there really. But the way I've set up the dry channel that I go into, that's basically my mid control. So I set
voice differently.
It's voiced differently, and I roll off the bottom end and put a bit more tops in. So
sure, yeah.
It's a less bright channel,
mm-hmm.
and I sort of use it as mids.
That's cool.
But it was one of the first series of Marshall amps with a reverb in it. It was their answer to a twin, basically. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
This one's been modded. It's got more of a Fender sounding reverb in it. If you want to hear that, I'll chuck the reverb on.
Cool.
Is that 212s?
212s, yeah, they're greenbacks, originals. Yeah, presence control.
Do you like greenbacks?
Greenbacks, yeah, there's something about them that's just always sound good.
Yeah, I don't like vintage 30s, it's not my bag. Yeah, more bloom to it than the sort of Marshall spank, you know.
Yeah.
Spring as well, depending on the room, and, you know. Another thing I've been using in a little courtesy loop is I've got a
yeah.
What's it called? The headroom, the Carl Martin headroom, the dual spring.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds lovely. Yeah.
Is that a cream one?
It's a cream one.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Huge. But it's got two channels of reverb, just the tone and the volume or the dwell, I guess, the amount. There's no, you can't change the length because it's spring. Have you guys tried the Orion? I really want to try that one.
No.
Because that's quite a small, comparatively small box. I'd say it's probably about the size of a Memory Man, the DT. But it's spring reverb in a box that size.
Okay.
And it's got all sorts of controls over the actual spring. But yeah, spring on a board is kind of hard.
Yeah, I think maybe spring, I guess, sometimes gets bad rap from crappy spring.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, he's
gorgeous.
Yeah,
that's great.
Right,
yeah.
Paul Palace is a genius, so he's turned that into a nice reverb.
Yeah.
And it's also running 6L6s instead of EL34s, so it's a little bit more mid-bloom about it as well, which helps, you know. Yeah.
What about this guitar? Is that a...
Right, this is a parts of thing. It was on, I was actually on eBay from Musicraft.
Okay.
So they're licensed to make Fender parts.
Okay.
This is quite a different one. It's a roasted swamp ash body, tally body with the Strat chamfers. So they're
so it's comfy.
Yeah.
It's comfy, yeah.
Yeah.
Quarter sawn maple neck and a Brazilian board.
Okay.
And actually glow in the dark dots, which you
believe.
Right. Not that you can tell. The tops are glow in the dark. These are clay on the front. Was a bit
okay.
Awesome.
old Schecter pickups. Beth and David Schecter was making them. So they're tapped singles. I think these are the Alnico ones.
Mm-hmm.
Brass bridge. Pull tap on each one of those. So the volume's got the neck tap and the... That's the bridge tab. Five-way switching, neck, series, parallel, and so forth. So, yeah. Neck, series, middle, out of phase, bridge. And then you can hot or cold either wire side of that.
Okay,
so there's
quite
a few sound options.
Wow, yeah, that is a lot.
It's one of my favourites, all that, you know. Getting closer to her. The neck's quite stratty sounding. choice of woods. So yeah. So that's the cot. So you can get a solo boost just by pushing those.
Pushing that, yeah. No, that sounds really, really nice.
It's cool having it's
very versatile.
Combinations like that.
Yeah.
Fender, Ben McGregor, you know.
No, I don't. No.
Guitarist up the coast, he wired up a Warmoth strap.
Yep.
And have three single coils. I have 20 pickup coils.
Yeah. Did he have switches everywhere on it?
Just one push pull.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like on and off, in and out.
Yeah.
So that's 4x5.
Yeah.
Well. I use about 8.
It's crazy.
It's cool to have. Play around with.
It's there and it's a nice story to tell.
Yeah.
So, how many bigger combinations? Yeah. What, three?
And then, so I really like that pickup combination. Marry me.
when you put that middle pickup out of phase and stepped in a germanium vase, that was fantastic.
So I love the out of phase thing. I love it. Use that again. And in combo with a wire, it's actually.
I was going to say in combo with that, yeah.
Did you drop the bottom end off so it reacts differently?
That sounds cool.
I can get some cool sounds with like fast.
With that?
As well, yeah.
He wants to hear it.
Shits and giggles.
There you go. You don't need a party board. You've got a party right there.
Yeah. Good times.
That's cool. That's very cool.
So, I mean, so I've recently expanded it with the Moo to sort of make it a bit funkier. And this wah, which I still haven't found its thing yet, but it's good. Look, it sounds pretty cool.
It's the right size.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's got that real shafty sort of... Got a bit of grit about it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's not too painstakingly painful up the top end.
No. And that's the middle position, so it can get brighter and darker. So that's what's handy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, he's a cool. Let me find this one.
You've mentioned this phaser a couple of times.
It's like a square phaser. Oh, okay.
Step phaser.
Ah, cool. Okay. And is that? Oh, okay. I was going to say, is that touch sensitive? Yeah, or because it almost was speeding up as you.
You can do that. So you can set it that way.
Like ramp.
Forget how you do it.
There's lots of switches.
There's a lot of switches, and they're black on green. They did change it to a white on green later, which was a lot nicer.
Yeah, what was it we did the other day? The Keeley Monterey. Can't read the right. We're getting old too, that's it.
Your glasses done.
No, that's not doing it.
When it goes almost to remodulated words.
Yeah, I don't think you can do it on the step because obviously that's a tempo thing. But you can, it's definitely a envelope phase.
Oh, that's now.
It's a little phaser.
Thank you.
for it to, you know.
Yeah, true.
But
same time.
Yeah. There's one. So depending on where the switch is, it does different things. So that's the speed up one. And then you hit that and it goes the other way.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
So you just reverse it. It's a great phaser. It's a lot in it, obviously.
It's gone on the list.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a long list.
Yes. Just slightly. Slightly long.
Damn, that list gets longer every day.
I'm working on it.
So is the missus. In the opposite direction. But,
he's not married yet. He's
oh, yeah,
still fine.
Fair point. But you know, if you want that thing, it does
it's
that as well.
Vibey almost.
Yeah. Slow that down. Okay. All that sort of rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all in there.
That's cool. That's a seriously cool board.
Yeah. Thank you.
Board envy.
It's kind of.
Well, this is the work board. Hence, the other one's going to be called the quirk board.
The quirk.
This does most of what I would need in any, you know,
I mean,
most situation.
Like, there's a lot on there, but it's kind of as you go through it, it's doing more and more.
Yeah.
Every time you pull a stand up, it's like, oh.
I thought
of that.
Yeah, I mean, the phase is the hardest one to use, so it does take it. I need to use it a lot more, so I know how to move to things quickly. I know a couple of different sounds on it that I know how to get.
There's a lot of switches on it.
There's
so.
A lot of switches and a lot of knobs, and they're really hard to read. I've thought about flipping it and getting the green one just for that fact, because it's like, but
especially at 1 a.m. in the morning,
on
the stage with bad lighting anyway. It's like, why do I do it?
5 hours in.
With the red Parkhand shining.
Oh,
that makes it
totally
really good,
right?
To see.
It's rubbish.
Look, guys, see what these guys did?
Yeah.
They did it.
White on green, folks, not black on green.
Well, essentially, my wobbly section's all green. That's kind of a bit of
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Black and red drives.
Yep. I think that's that.
That's cool.
For the board.
That's very cool. And so that was wired up for you by a friend, Jack Hudson.
Jack Hudson at JH Productions.
Who does great work.
Yeah.
Actually, he's going to be most likely, you'll know, one of the... We've almost did a podcast with him once already, but then it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So he's going to be sooner or later. We'll be chatting to him.
Shame you couldn't fit it in today.
School
duty.
I've got to do the parenting school, taking to gymnastics in the afternoon.
Right, Ferry.
Got to be the
Father Ferry.
Father Ferry, yeah. It's good though, it's good. It's good.
Heard of Santa Claus, Father Christmas, Father Ferry. Ferry.
So how's your gymnastics skills going along, Legit?
Gymnastics, great.
Yeah.
Got a legs for it.
Yeah, oh thanks. I will take some photos of my legs and put them up. I've been in Queensland for too long. Cool, that's great. Thank you very much for showing us through all
you're
that.
Welcome.
Hang on,
thanks for being here.
What are we up to? We just went an hour and 5 minutes.
Cool.
So
nice.
Probably may as well slowly wrap it up and do some videoing.
Do some vids, yeah.
So check out our YouTube channel if you want to see some videos of the board. It's a seriously cool board, so definitely check it out. Then make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Leave comments, let us know.
There's a tab where you can donate craft beer or chocolate.
Yes, there's chocolate.
Dark chocolate.
Oh, yeah, it's sugar-free February for me at the moment.
Oh, is
so,
it?
So wait till March, if you do.
I want to bring out the black and gold from the fruit. Not black and gold, green and blacks.
Black
and gold. I think they're a disparate end of the chocolate spectrum.
Can that be
more
chocolate?
Well, on that note, thanks heaps for having us, Chris.
Thanks, thanks so much. Alex, thanks for coming down.
And yeah,
out there in podcast land.
Yes, thank you for listening to all your podcasters. Check out the YouTube channel, subscribe to the YouTube channel and this channel, and do all the stuff. And yes, and see you next time.
Cheers.
Cue music.
Ciao.